Hello there, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Wednesday, July the 1st, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
And now for something completely different.
You got that right, Bucky. You all know how through this sex education podcast series, we've been looking at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative sexual lifestyles, right? And how we've been chatting with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world, right? Well then, today we take another walk on the wild side. I bring you part one of my conversation with a true original. My guest is the one and only Deborah Christina Darling. Deborah self-identifies as a straight drag queen. That's right, you heard me. He's a straight man who cross-dresses and has done so for most of his life. But what's so special about that? Lots of straight men cross-dress. Ah, that's true. But few are as out there and as willing to challenge some of the popular notions of sex and gender held by both those inside and outside the cross-dressing community. I can assure you, sex fans, Deborah has the balls and the attitude to match, thus the drag queen designation, don't you know? You don't want to miss a minute of this exceptional discussion. Deborah also shares with us several cross-dressing resources and invites you to check them out. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this fetish and kink series. It's Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You can find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yessiree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did.
I want room service!
I do believe you've called the wrong number, sir. Okay, on with the show.
Deborah, welcome. And let me tell you right from the get-go, you look fabulous.
Well, thank you, dear.
I feel like such a schlub because I didn't dress for the occasion, but you did. And like the old saying, song goes, a pretty girl is like a melody. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Well, hello, everybody.
And I want to begin with a big shout-out to Lady Lydia for hooking us up. She's a treasure, huh?
She is an absolutely wonderful person.
Mutual Admiration Society, I understand, because she thinks you are fabulous, too.
Well, I appreciate that, and for everybody who hasn't seen Lady Lydia, I thoroughly recommend it, and watching her take her clothes off is a wonderful experience.
Listen, since this is the first time that we're covering this particular topic in one of my podcasts, maybe we best start at the beginning. What is cross-dressing? And is cross-dressing just another word for transvestism, or is there more to it than that?
Well, shall I call you doctor?
You can call me whatever you want.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see if that changes the evening.
Dick is good, too.
I rather like to believe that cross-dressing is more than that.
Uh-huh.
Transvestism is an old term. It's a clinical term. It was given to us by a German psychologist, Dr. Hirschfeld, who was busy studying people with mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that a subset of them liked to cross-dress.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to the conclusion that cross-dressers have mental problems.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you start out with people who have mental problems as your study group,
mm-hmm.
that's not an unusual conclusion.
Right.
But it's not very valid. cross-dresser has come to mean just about anybody who wears the clothes of the opposite gender for just about any reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole raft of subsets.
Yes, and I'm hoping to get to that in depth in a bit. But let's begin with talking about you and your personal journey. How, when, why, where?
Moi? Ooh. Well, to be honest, I crossed a whole lot of boundaries all at once.
I see.
When I was about 12.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, puberty hit early, and at 12 years old, I was like most junior high school children, just a raging set of hormones with arms and legs.
Uh-huh.
And an older lady, I say older, she was like 18. was given charge of me for a summer, and she had these wonderful fantasies about dressing little boys up in girls' clothes and tying them up and ultimately doing evil things to them.
Kidding! How exciting!
Yes. Well, you know, it would be probably defined as child abuse today, but I didn't look at it that way.
No.
And that's where it began.
Huh.
So I've been cross-dressing since I was about 11 or 12 years old.
Hmm. It's not an unfamiliar kind of thing for parents even to cross-dress their children, particularly boys being dressed as girls, as if the mother was hoping for a daughter as opposed to a son.
You get some of that. More, you know, I don't want to cut his hair, despite what daddy says.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure there's as much of that goes on as we'd like to think there is.
Is that right? Okay, good.
But I don't know for sure.
Okay. I understand that you're not only a practitioner of cross-dressing, but you are also an activist. Is that correct? And if so, can you elaborate?
Yeah, I suppose people do call me an activist, amongst other things. Yeah, in the course of cross-dressing, I came to a conclusion about 30 years ago that there was a need for more services and outreach to the cross-dressing community than what was being provided.
Uh-huh.
We used to meet once a Friday here in Seattle, and it had been going on for a very long time, and a very good friend of mine from college, whom we had known each other in the military ROTC as guys, turned out to be a transsexual, and Marcia was running this thing and doing an excellent job, but it was a lot of people who were transsexual who got together on Friday to talk about their problems.
Uh-huh.
And we realized there was a subset of us who didn't have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
We just liked to wear clothes. So we got together, about five of us, and formed a group called Emerald City. And of the five of us, I think I'm the only one that's still running around Seattle. Most of the rest have moved on or moved to other parts of the country or whatever. Emerald City, however, is still functioning under very capable leadership other than mine. So that was one place where it started. From that grew a program with all the major schools and universities in the area where we send a group once a quarter to a various set of classes to lecture about the different subsets of cross-dressing.
Right.
And that is also going on still. And I did start that one all by my lonesome.
Good for you.
We have started a conference over in Port Angeles, which just celebrated its 20th year in winding down. We meet there for a week, and we explore cross-dressing for anyone who wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that makes me an activist.
I guess it does. And of long standing, too, which is
a nice way of saying old.
It is. I think we're age peers. We must be age peers because I've been doing similar kinds of things for the gay community for, well, as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Young puppy, basically. So, cross-dressing, as most people in our audience might know, dates back into prehistory. If it's been part of the human experience for that long, there must be a reason. Consider some of the famous cross-dressers: Achilles, Athena, Pope Joan, Joan of Arc, Bonnie Prince Charlie, vaudevillian Dan Daly, who reportedly wore women's clothing not only at home but sometimes in public. One of my favorites, J. Edgar Hoover, whose femme name was Muriel, as is reported. What a killer fruit he was. Harris Glenn Milstead, who is divine, who appeared in a lot of John Waters films. Comedian Eddie Izzard describes himself as an executive transvestite. Dennis Rodman appears in public in various degrees of drag, as and Hermann Göring, the commander of the Luftwaffe in World War II, was a cross-dresser who was partial to silk nightwear. King Henry III of France insisted on being considered a woman and addressed as Her Majesty. Sports caster Merv Alpert, who was revealed to wear bras and panties and garters and stockings under his suits. So if it is so prolific and prevalent and even at times very high profile over the ages, can you speculate why that might be?
Well, before we do, let us not forget Lord Cornbury.
Yes, exactly.
The leader of the Massachusetts colony.
Yeah.
And Uncle Milty, of course.
Of course. Of course, of course.
He
had some candy to hide, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, all of that list of people, I think, cross-dressed for various reasons.
Uh-huh.
The reasons, I think, are very strongly embedded in society.
Uh-huh.
Some of them. And some of them are probably more recent than others. But they keep manifesting themselves in the same way, cross-dressing.
Mm-hmm.
What is Dennis Rodman's motivation? I don't know, truthfully. But it appears to be somewhat similar to one of mine, and that is, look at me.
Yeah.
Here I am. I am different.
Uh-huh.
I should be treated with a certain amount of respect because I'm different.
Uh-huh.
It's attention grabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Cornbury believed he was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, King Henry did too.
Yes.
Or was it King Charles?
Henry.
Henry. So those are entirely different reasons.
Right.
Uncle Milty cross-dressed primarily for the comedic effect that it drew and ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it a little more than once, and certainly more than was necessary. And then there's Geraldine.
Uh-huh. Right? Flip Wilson?
Uh-huh. And I'm not real sure about Geraldine.
Interesting. Interesting. So there are many reasons for cross-dressing, as you just identified. Some are compulsive, some... So it should be no surprise that the phenomenon presented itself throughout human history. Why do people generally think that the person who cross-dresses has a problem, if it's so prevalent?
You know, I think it's because it challenges society's norms or definition of norms,
uh-huh.
regardless of the reason for the cross-dressing.
Right.
A transsexual is I use the word creature often, but a transsexual is a creature that society doesn't want to deal with.
Right.
A transvestite is, let's say, a medical problem. Anything that becomes a paraphilia is a problem.
Right.
I don't care if it's eating kumquats or wearing garters.
That's right.
Ordinary run-of-the-mill cross-dressers who have a compulsion of some kind to wear the clothes of the opposite gender are pretty harmless, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still challenging society's mm-hmm. stereotypes and norms.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who sees a guy not just wearing women's clothes, but presenting themselves as female is threatened, I think, because he doesn't understand why a member of his gender, which has the
superior
the upper,
gender.
Superior, you're right. Which has the upper role in society, would want to demote themselves to that level.
And they see it as denigration, of what is sacred about being a male.
Mm.
And regardless if it's done for fun or if it's serious, it's sad.
Right. And then you get the cross-dresser who, I have one good friend, Karen, who is absolutely lovely as a woman. Not gorgeous, but lovely. And we're out together all the time because girls do that. You know, somebody has to hold the purses while the rest of them dance. That's the way it goes. And Karen attracts males.
Mm.
Now, Karen is utterly and totally heterosexual towards the female gender, which presents all kinds of interesting challenges.
Right.
But she is a threat to a male who finds her attractive.
Right.
Because when he figures out what's going on, now he's asking himself if he's homosexual.
Right.
God forbid.
Exactly. 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 It challenges the person who is attracted to the cross-dresser. It's interesting. Women seem to be more generous. Are women often threatened by male cross-dressers?
Not as long as they're not married to them.
Yeah.
We have found this phenomenon to be exceedingly true.
Yeah.
Women are attracted in public to cross-dressers.
Yeah.
They don't want their husband to do it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dichotomy when you come down to it.
Isn't it so?
But I have had guys in bars ask me, why you do this? And I'm telling them, I don't know exactly why all the girls here who are with me cross-dress, because there's usually five or six of us if we go out. But I can tell you why I do it, to attract chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me like I'm crazy, and I said, look around the bar and see where all the women are.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, they're all with you. Yeah, they're curious. They want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
They're interested in why a guy would do this.
Yeah.
And they feel safe
around
cross-dressers.
Yeah. They see a little something of themselves reflected back to them in a way that they would not see that in traditional heterosexual maleness.
Yes, I think you're right.
Huh. So cross-dressing is primarily a male thing, at least as it is expressed nowadays?
No.
Tell me more then about that, because that's a misconception that even I have.
Well, there are, for instance, in the drag world, both drag queens and drag kings.
That's right.
Although drag kings you don't hear a lot about.
Mm.
Society is more willing to accept a woman wearing men's clothes than a man wearing women's clothes, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just are better pioneers than we are.
Mm-hmm.
But the full idea of a cross-dresser, which is more than just wearing the clothes of the opposite gender, it's presenting as the opposite gender. I think there are probably as many female-to-male as there are male-to-female.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the female-to-male convention in Seattle is much larger.
Is that right?
At the female convention in Port Angeles. And it happens every year.
Wow.
And society doesn't tolerate it any more than it does people like me.
So are the women cross-dressers, are they, is it as recreational for them, or is it really, you know, trying to gender bend? Or is it really difficult to speculate or make any kind of generalities?
Well, again, there's a percentage of them that are transsexual.
Uh-huh, right.
And it's actually about the same percentage of the female population as transsexualism is in the male population.
No kidding.
And a woman who goes the full route of presenting as a male, stuffing a sock in her shorts to create a package, binding her breasts, putting a little coffee grounds in her face so she has stubble, is not accepted.
Yeah.
Is in as much trouble in the men's room as the average male-to-female is in the women's room.
Yes.
Which is really strange in our society.
Yeah.
We're so hung up on plumbing. Hours and
figuratively.
And the real stuff.
That's right.
Cross-dressing for the sense that a heterosexual male, like some of us, might cross-dress without having the urge to become a member of the opposite gender. I don't know in the female. I really don't know how much that exists.
I hope to.
You would never be able to identify it in society, I don't think.
Yeah. I hope in later podcasts I'll be able to interview someone. Maybe you'll be able to turn me on to somebody who might want to chat with us. What makes cross-dressing so sexually charged for so many?
Ooh, that's a fun one. Because obviously I started cross-dressing as a sexual adventure. And most cross-dressers.
Or being cross-dressed. Is there? Is it one or the other, or both?
No, both.
Okay, good.
Most cross-dressers in our community will deny that fact.
Uh-huh.
They will adamantly say there is no sexual involvement in their cross-dressing. And I usually get into trouble because I just don't believe them and say so. I think there is.
Mm-hmm.
It might be repressed in order to justify being cross-dressed. It's okay. It's not a sexual adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people are repressed about their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true. I think it is a sexual adventure. First of all, women's clothes are sensual.
Mm-hmm.
They feel good.
Fabulous, one might say.
They are satiny. They are smooth. They brush against the body. They do all the things that are sensually stimulating. Almost all women's clothes are sexually marked by male.
Mm.
So there is the issue. I mean, heels this high, say things, and women who wear them are making statements.
Right.
Whether they're a secretary in New York or some crossdresser, doesn't matter. Same statement.
Right.
The crossdresser may not mean the statement. So I don't think it's at all surprising that there is a sexual charge to it. I am surprised that so many people are willing to deny it.
So I've had some opportunities to interact with cross-dressers, male to female cross-dressing, in my private practice over the years, and they, too, suggested that there was no sexual component to it, but when I pursued them on that, because it was hard for me to believe, I said, well, you know, do you get a little boner, you know, slipping on some panties or, you know, slipping into a bra? And he goes, well, yes. And I said, well, isn't that what, you know, the sexuality of cross-dressing is all about?
I self-identify more as a drag queen than as a cross-dresser.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not gay. And that causes all kinds of interesting challenges because I keep telling people all drag queens are not gay. Turns out they're not. There's a number of us that aren't. And to me, it's the flamboyantness, the attitude.
Oh, absolutely.
The stuff that goes along with being a drag queen.
And the shoulders.
Yes. But, you know, drag queens tuck.
Yes.
Cross-dressers usually don't.
Is that right?
Well, you get a skirt, you don't need to.
Uh-huh.
So, occasionally we will get people who argue about it. And I have, in fact, for lingerie fashion shows and things, taken a few drag cross-dressers who said, you know, no, there's nothing sexual about it, and said, okay, come on. And one or two of us have taken them, taped them so that they are completely hidden and compacted.
Uh-huh.
The testicles squeezed back up into the body cavity and the penis taped back and the whole bit. Got them all done up in their favorite lingerie and said, now I want to see you stand up and not bend over.
Uh-huh.
Because the erection just bends and double. And they're going, oh, there's nothing sexual. I'm going, why are you in such pain?
So, cross-dressing isn't easy.
Oh, God, no.
I think not. So let's examine some of the more common myths about cross-dressing, shall we? Cross-dressing is an indication of a gay orientation, or cross-dressing is an indication of a transsexual orientation.
Let's start with gay.
All right.
Why in God's name would that be considered gay?
I don't know.
We have two gay guys who are attracted to each other, so one of them dresses up like a woman, the other one doesn't like women. You know, I'm sorry, but there's no point to that.
Yeah, it's so true.
Drag,
but again,
in the gay community.
For one second, the going back to the ideology of, you know, homosexuality, at the same time that, you know, transsexualism was being identified, it was, you know, that gay people were confused about their gender, and so this cross-dressing thing got all balled up into that and became a pathology, of course.
Well, yeah, but I think only amongst the straight world.
Yes.
The gay people knew perfectly well what was going on. The drag queen side of the gay community, I mean, first of all, like I said, drag is an attitude, and drag queens are either, generally speaking, entertainers or prostitutes. And the prostitutes are preying on that portion of the community which is gay, but I don't want to admit it.
Right.
You know, the average guy, and I tell this to college students, and they look at me like I'm three heads. But I said, you know, if it looks like a woman, smells like a woman, and behaves like a woman, and sucks my cock like a woman, then I'm not gay. And I'm going, yeah, you are. The average male doesn't care whether it's a woman or a piece of roast beef. He'll make do.
That's so untrue.
You don't think so?
Oh, I would make a, you know, I have a preference for who sucks my cock.
Yes. And, but, so, I just don't buy off on the idea that, that there's any reason to connect cross-dressing with being gay.
Right.
People do.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Over in Port Angeles, we had two absolutely charming women who were in business and community. I don't know, one's a waitress and one's doing something else. But they got attached to our convention every year.
Uh-huh.
And they were with us 5 nights, out partying, having a good time.
Cool.
Their husbands didn't care. Until 1 year, some idiot told their husbands we weren't gay.
Uh-huh.
And they were no longer allowed to be with
us. Oh, no kidding.
He suddenly discovered there was a challenge here.
Oh, my.
But the transsexual thing is a little different. Because, in fact, a transsexual believes that they are a gender trapped in the wrong body.
Right.
And a male in a female body or a female in a male body. And they will cross-dress as part of the process of freeing that trapped gender.
Right. But that's not gay either, so...
No, but it doesn't mean that a cross-dresser is a transsexual.
That's right.
It probably does follow, however, that a transsexual will be a cross-dresser.
Right. Right, right, right. Yes. Cross-dressing tendencies often appear early in life, like in your case, or even younger.
Much younger.
Do you have any advice for parents who discover their kid likes frilly knickers?
Don't panic. First of all kids explore gender.
Uh-huh.
And children learn very early by exploring gender what the rules are.
Yes.
And they will normally conform to the rules because children like to please their parents. For the most part. Parents don't necessarily believe that, but it is true.
Uh-huh.
Some of the young children who cross-dress will, in fact, be either cross-dressers or transsexuals.
Mm-hmm. Later in life.
Later in life.
Yes.
But we're talking about, you know, respectively, 3% of the population cross-dresses and roughly 1%, I think, is transgendered.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, if your kid puts on, your little boy puts on a dress, that's nice. If he plays with a doll, well, okay. You know, 99 times out of 100 doesn't mean a thing, except he wanted to see what playing with a doll was like.
Yeah.
And he'll discard it and move on
yeah.
to whatever it is little boys yeah. do because he likes his little boyfriends. If it persists, and I don't mean try to stop it, or don't try to punish them, but if it doesn't go away, I would talk to somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that child is part of that 1%, you need to deal with it while they're young. Mm-hmm. The younger, the better, because the less screwed up they're going to be when they get to be adults.
Right, and deal with it, I'm going to suspect, is not try to break them of it. It's try helping them understand it, helping the parents understand it, getting some professional advice,
yes,
that sort of thing.
Yes, and stay away from Johns Hopkins.
Oh, yes.
Or not have a great record on the subject.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't mean trying to convince the kid that he isn't whatever he is or
That's
she
right.
is.
Yeah.
I mean trying to find out what they are.
Yeah.
And then using the tools that are available in society today mm-hmm. to bring that person physical appearance and makeup into congruency.
Right.
Is the word I love to use for
yeah.
that. Congruency with what their mind is.
Yeah.
They'll yeah. be so much happier.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's a fair amount of kids that cross-dress because it's fun, just as
yeah.
you suggest. And sometimes that carries into adulthood.
Just for the fun of it, and it's kicks, and you know, it doesn't mean much more than that. But if you know the people, particularly the adults around them, make a big to-do about it, like this is really perverse, or you know, there's something drastically wrong, or it's my fault, or blah 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 blah. That's when the kids run into some problems because they're having a hard enough time putting the whole gestalt together without having the interference of neurotic adults, I would suspect.
That's true on any subject.
Yeah, I suppose. So nowadays women in just about every Western society cross-dress with ease, and it's no big deal. And I know we've addressed this a bit before, but maybe there's other stuff we need to say. Perhaps this is due to the relative latitude that society grants women in matters of dress and self-expression. Is that your mindset as well?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I think women have a latitude to wear male articles of male clothing.
Uh-huh.
More than men have latitude to wear articles of women's clothing.
But even the women who wear men's clothing or, you know, like pants, they have to be feminized pantsuits and stuff like
that,
right?
Not necessarily. I know lots of women who wear male dress shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I know dads who see their daughters do it all the time.
Yes, right.
And I know women who wear men's pants. For whatever reason, they're more comfortable. They happen to fit them better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our anatomies are different, so that's not always true
mm-hmm.
in terms of fit. But mm-hmm. with some body styles, it is. And, you know, it's not a big deal. A man wearing a skirt is a big deal. I know, I've done it. 3 weeks ago, I was in Atlanta at the St. Regis in a suit,
uh-huh.
meeting clients, and one of the things that I do with my cross-dressing is I will not allow people to treat it as anything other than a fun thing.
Uh-huh.
I demand it, I insist on it, and I treat it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the most part, we get along,
mm-hmm.
99% of the time. And I am there in a dark suit, and my client, two men and a woman, the woman had said, well, the St. Regis, you realize, is very formal. On Friday evening.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's nice. And she said, well, you know, you're talking white pumps, white gloves, and a hat. I went, okay, Marky, not a problem. So I'm sitting in the bar in a dark suit, white pumps with 4-inch heels, white patent pumps, white rut gloves, and a little white pillbox Jackie Kennedy hat. And nobody said a word,
uh-huh.
not a single word about it. Not even when they sabered the champagne, and I get up and walked across the lobby to watch, and the maitre d' made a big deal out of giving me a glass of the champagne.
Excellent.
Can you pull it off? Yes, you can pull it off.
Yeah.
Are most people comfortable doing it? No. Very few people could have done that.
Yeah. But it does take some practice. It has to be. It must reflect some comfort in your own skin, it would seem to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention practice walking in 4-inch heels.
Right.
But, I mean, you look really foolish if you fall down at that point. But a woman could have done that same thing wearing women's clothes, you know, a pair of heels, a pair of men's trousers, and a white dress shirt.
Right.
And nobody would have even noticed at all.
Right.
At least
right.
they noticed me.
Yeah, right.
But she's not cross-dressed
yeah.
any more than I was.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now, if I wander in this way,
yeah.
to be truthful, I'm good for about 30 seconds at the most of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, nobody pays any attention.
Uh-huh.
Just another person in the room.
Yeah.
But I am cross-dressed.
Mm.
And a woman can do the same thing if she wanted to. A suit, a tie, four in hand, you know, tie tags, hair mm-hmm. slicked back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then she would be cross-dressed.
Right.
And she gets the same reaction I do.
Yeah. So it must be as startling for you, as the receiver of the reception that you get, as much as it must be startling for the people who discover that you are not what you appear to be.
What I might be. Well, the interesting thing there, of course, is by the time I do hair and heels. I'm 6.5 feet to 7 feet tall, depending on the hairdo and platforms. So there's no way I'm going to disguise the fact that I'm different or unusual. At which point, I tend to take, and I believe it was Mae West, who illustrated how a woman should enter a room, and that is to stop at the door and pose.
Mm-hmm.
And after 30 seconds or so, you can enter the room, because at that point, you own it. That's my approach. And it works. It works quite well, actually. And then you just discover very quickly that you don't, if you don't do something really outré, you blend immediately into the crowd.
Yeah.
And there's nobody gets excited anymore, right? Except a few rednecks, and it usually takes them, you know, 2 or 3 hours to get drunk enough to get organized. And so I've been in and out of Gillies in Fort Worth, and there was no problem. I don't know how much disaster I left behind, but there was no problem while I was there.
Yes. Not too long ago, women who cross-dressed were thought to be lesbians at best, or their cross-dressing was considered a sign of gender dysphoria. Luckily, that has changed, but the stigma still stands for men who cross-dress. And I know we're going over some territory we've already done, but it bears repeating, I think. Why the double standard for men who cross-dress?
Well, I think mostly it's, one, the male fear of being, the male who is attracted to a cross-dresser's fear of being considered gay, or finding out that he's gay. And two, the status issue.
Right.
A woman who truly cross-dresses to male is often perceived as being someone who's attempting to cross the gender barrier and move her status upwards. And that is not appreciated. Interestingly enough, a sidebar to that, we have a lot of, in our group, true male to female transsexual people, and in some portion of their transition, we are a we are an outreach need that they have.
Right, right.
But some of them we stay with all the way through transition.
Wow.
And it's very interesting what happens, particularly if they come out all attractive. They represent a position. I have one very good friend who did this, and she was gorgeous blonde when she got done. And she had been an engineer in one of our local telecom companies.
Wow.
A very prominent engineer with a number of patents to her name, and a very responsible position in the company as a male. After the transition, was able to hang on to her job for a while. Discovered that, one, the other engineers didn't accept her anymore. She was the gopher coffee person in the group, no longer the respected engineer whose opinion was sought. The women didn't like her because she was now a female and a woman, and an attractive one at that.
So a rival.
Who still maintained in the pay scale her male gender superiority.
No kidding.
So she's a peer.
Yeah.
Upset the women no end, because they said, well, the male got there and now she wants to be a woman. The men didn't like it. Her ratings dropped substantially as the company attempted to get rid of her. And they did finally merge, and she just took her stock options and went her way. But she wasn't happy with what was going on.
Yeah.
Personnel, and when I talked to her, I said, you know, do you realize that you represent a huge potential sexual discrimination case for the government if they get into this? Because you are living proof that they pay men more than they pay women to do the same job.
Right.
And you screwed up HR no end.
Yeah.
Believe me, they don't want you there.
Right.
And, you know, I shouldn't think about that. The other side that we have to deal with all the time when this happens is the woman, if she successfully transitions, finds herself being treated as a woman, and she doesn't like it.
Right. Interesting. Well, our time is up for today, and I have
just tons more questions to ask. Can I invite you back next week?
Sure, I'll be glad to.
Good. In a different outfit, maybe?
That could be arranged.
Too bad this is in video, folks. So until next week, we will be seeing you in cyberspace, hopefully. Bye now.
Hey, great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for part two of my discussion with Deborah Darling and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Why, you're one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen, and that's not saying much for you.
Well, that's only because I don't have my tiara on right this moment. But if you stick around, maybe I'll doll myself up a little. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't? I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my brand spanking new sex toy review site at drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the My Stockroom tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment when you do.
I object to all this sex on the television. I mean, I keep falling off.
You're too nutty. Until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex, even on the TV, that's even better. Over and out.